impetus in the village with her airs and graces. The worst type of fool is one who fools themselves, Maggie. Mark my words, if the going got tough, the Percys wouldn't give you the dirt beneath their fingernails, she'd say. As it happened, the going had got tough. Like many country manors during the Second World War, Rutherford House had been requisitioned by the government as a maternity home for evacuated pregnant women. The exquisite furniture was stored in the east wing, the paintings and paraphernalia removed, the velvet-lined drawing room and library boarded up, and provision made for a dormitory of 30 in the west wing. My mother astonished Gran by not only embracing her new role of midwife cum nanny, but growing a bun of her own, namely me, Millicent Shaw. She never did disclose the identity of the father, but Gran had her own sucked-in-cheek theories. With a house full of women and only a couple of men on leave, it wasn't Greek to work out, she'd say, whatever that meant. I didn't have the honour of being born at Rutherford in 1943. It seems Mother hid the pregnancy beneath her stern smile and layers of white aprons, then eventually pushed me out in her childhood Scoresby bedroom with a stick for the pain and Gran's told-you-so eyes. Gran agreed to house and feed me, but said if anyone asked, there'd be no lies, especially as my granddad had died many years before in the 1926 Thorn Colliery shaft accident. She didn't think it fair for folk to believe she had a fella on the side when it was actually pure as pure flaming Maggie. But nobody did ask. I was one of those quiet and studious children no one noticed, save for Gran, and my invisibility continued at school. Unless the alpha kids were bored and needed someone to pick on, of course, and what better reason than a face full of freckles and the colour of my hair. Rutherford House was, and indeed still is, the seat of the Rutherford Percy family. Back in the day it was a splendid, bustling, Palladian-style manor with a hefty gaggle of employees. The female staff ranged from a variety of maids to a cook, a head nurse, a governess and a nanny, not to mention the dependable, prudent, sensible and honest housekeeper, who was then a fiery woman in her 80s. The male lineup included a butler, a valet, a groom, a coachman, a gardener, a gamekeeper and an estate steward. The numbers inevitably dwindled as a result of conscription during the war, but after it ended and the evacuees finally left, the staff pyramid slowly crumbled due to finances. Apparently the weak and witless Henry Percy had left matters of money entirely in the hands of his steward, who'd managed to leak or steal or imbibe a huge chunk of the family fortune. Thankfully, on Henry's early death at the age of 53, his widow, Honora, was a little more savvy. She dismissed the hangers-on and rewarded her loyal staff with the honour of promotion rather than an increased salary. As a consequence, cook became chief cook and my mother was upgraded to Mrs. Shaw, housekeeper. In return for the rather magnificent hunting lodge, Watkins was given the role of gamekeeper, groom and gardener, and any other male role the poor man was allotted, which included managing the 60-acre estate. Around this point, my mother called upon me to perform my daughterly duties. I didn't know the ins and outs of it. Indeed, I had no interest in the Percy family at all, but apparently the son and heir, Theo, had found a wife. The fiancé was of good stock, with money, presumably, so Honora decreed that it wouldn't do for her to start married life at Rutherford without a lady's maid. According to the housekeeper, I was the perfect candidate. I'd turned 16, Gran was frail, and the cottage tenancy would go with her when she died. I didn't have any suitors on the horizon, and, needless to say, I was guaranteed by her to be a cheap employee. I'd always been a clever girl, and had hoped to stay in education to take the higher school certificate, so the thought of tending to the whims of a spoilt, posh princess type, like my mother had before me, was frankly abhorrent. I tried to rail against it as much as was possible when Maggie's mind was set, but even Gran was all for it. I haven't much time left, love. Seems you prefer books to boys, so how else will you get a roof over your head?